Welcome to the first annual anniversary episode of Simply Us.
Happy birthday to us. Well, yay. To this podcast.
Yeah, it's not our birthdays.
No.
But it's the podcast's birthday.
Yay.
Yeah. So today is episode 27. I was thinking it doesn't really work. The math is odd because technically 26 should be the birthday if we do it every 2 weeks. But I guess, then again, I guess it's that whole counting to zero thing. So never mind.
It worked out because today is that we record this is the actual day.
Yeah, from the first release.
Right.
Or release of episode
and
one.
And tomorrow will be the day that we actually put this up.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. It works out.
Yep, it does. If this happens to be your first time tuning in, I am Rob.
And I'm Victoria.
And as we covered, we are Simply Us.
And we are married, just like we said in the first episode.
Yep. Yeah, still married.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
I don't think it's going to change at all.
Yeah, probably not.
You have plans?
Nope, not at all. So today we've got just a couple of simple topics we wanted to go over. Nothing real deep at all. I have some information I got from a YouTube video about sriracha sauce, which we have become quite fond of over the last year. And this video just kind of helped to strengthen my interest in the company and the sauce, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It made me interested to have more of it because I was having Frank's Red Hot before we started having sriracha.
And I was the sriracha person.
Yeah, because when we would go to like Korean barbecue places.
Well, anywhere. I just prefer chili sauce.
Well, that's
or
true.
Whatever.
That's, yeah, you prefer chili over cayenne.
Yes.
So, but before we get into that, you're going to talk about your topic, which we'll cover in a second, but I wanted to set up before we do anything that it's finally upwards of 70 degrees in New Jersey. We had it yesterday. It was about 75, I think, 76.
Fahrenheit.
Yes, Fahrenheit. Good point. And today we have almost 80 degrees, if it's not actually at 80 degrees. So we finally have nice enough weather to have windows open. So I apologize. You will probably hear some road noise, maybe some people working outside in the background. We're changing the position of the microphone, so it may not be as bad as it would be anyway. And that's just also to set up if my voice starts getting rather scratchy and sounding like it's cutting out, it's probably because it is, because I suffer with springtime allergies, and they have definitely started kicking up as of Thursday.
Poor man. Such lovely weather, but you have to still suffer.
Yeah, my favorite season and least favorite season of the year at the same exact time.
That's sad.
Oh, well. But anyway, your topic first.
Okay. I wanted to discuss, since we met and started dating in the year 2000, I wanted to go over things that happened 18 years ago.
Okay.
Because it would be funny to see how much things have changed. Because now, 18, you figure people are that were born in 2000 now can vote and mm-hmm. all these other things. They're adults.
But they're not allowed to drink yet.
Yes. But they're an adult, legally.
I'm just making the point that I think that's silly. You can do a lot of stuff at 18, but you can't drink at 18? That just doesn't make sense to me.
We don't even drink at our age.
But that's just my point, is that it doesn't make sense.
We didn't drink at 18, 19, 20, or 21 when it was legal.
Yeah.
We still don't drink, so no. I mean, whatever.
I just think it's, for other people, I just think that's silly.
Yeah, I understand, because they could go die in a war, but they can't drink. I understand. But on to this topic. Number one, the last Peanuts comic strip was released in 2000.
Wow, that's interesting.
Isn't that sad, though?
I actually remember like when they were talking about how Charles Schulz was done. I don't even remember, was he doing it or was his son doing it at that point?
I think he still did it.
Okay. But I remember my mom making a point that no more Peanuts
comics.
Yeah,
my mom, too, who's a Peanuts nut.
Yeah.
She loves Charlie Brown with a passion, mm-hmm. that woman. But yeah, so it's crazy to think how long it lasted, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it lasted a very long time. The second thing, which is kind of funny that you're giving this to me, did you plan that?
Nope.
Yeah, so back in 2000, 18 years ago, Steve Jobs released the first release number?
It was a beta.
Whatever. Oh, the beta for Mac OS X. Which, by the way, if anybody didn't know, the OS X means that it was actually version 10 of Mac OS. That's why they have started switching over to using names like Sierra and High Sierra and all that, and to get away from using the X because it's not actually Mac OS X anymore. But anyway.
Number three, Boy Meets World ended. I don't even think I watched it. I watched a couple episodes, and we didn't watch it till like a few years ago.
I don't know. I remember watching it when I was younger.
Oh, okay. I didn't really.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising.
But it was a huge thing, but I really, yeah. I remember certain episodes that I actually watched. You know what it was? There were times where I slept over this one family's house and they loved to watch all of that TGIF. Yeah.
Gotcha. So then number four, the top three hits for 2000. This is really interesting. The first one, Faith Hill's Breathe. Was that actually number one?
That was number one.
Wow.
I don't even remember it that well. Nope. Is that Just Breathe? Is that that?
I don't know.
I don't even like that song. I'm sorry.
So, but the reason why I said it's interesting is that the number two and number three were both songs where Santana with other people.
Yeah.
So, Rob Thomas and Santana did Smooth. Now, that's not even the one that...
That was an annoying song.
Yeah, I never really liked it.
I couldn't stand it.
And then the other one was Santana and Grand B, Maria Maria.
Remember that one, too. I don't like that either.
I don't remember that song. But, okay, sure.
Number five, American Beauty won Best Film.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You know what's funny? Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I know.
He basically is who he played in that movie.
Yeah, that is true. It is true. Number six. Now, but just by the way, we have, this is what, 25 items? So just so that if you want to skip ahead because for
this
whatever
is
reason.
Boring. I don't want to know what happened in 2000. I'm only 14.
Yeah, well, this would definitely apply differently to people who were old enough to be conscious of what was going on in the world in 2000. But it might be interesting, though, just to think if you go and look back on this stuff. I mean, for instance, like, I would have to go back and look again that, like, item number six, the Nokia 3310 was the number one selling phone. I don't recall that particular phone. But I do remember a similar phone, like other Nokia, that a lot of people that we went to school with had.
Yes.
Because they would always hook them up.
This one was an update from that.
Okay.
So you actually had the one that everyone else had.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it was Samsung?
That would be an update. Nokia
you didn't
would
have
update
a phone
itself.
Yet here, right?
No. In 2000, I didn't even have my own phone because I was still in high school. I didn't get it until after.
The end of 2001. Because
I didn't have my own phone until after high school.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. So the end of 2001.
As a matter of fact, I think it might have been later because I didn't have my own phone until I was working
at UPS.
September 11.
That was September 11, 2001.
Okay, if you say so. I thought I still was using the family phone when I was at UPS. I don't think I had my own phone yet.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I was still using the family phone in 2000. When I was at UPS. Whatever year that was.
Okay. Number seven. Venus Williams won her first Wimbledon, and she's won five.
Mm-hmm.
So that was her first. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Following up after that, number eight. Brad Pitt married Jennifer Aniston. That's so funny to think about how long ago that was
and
how much, like, how long he's been or has been or was with Angelina Jolie after that.
Yeah, I don't think they're together anymore.
No, they're not.
We don't pay attention to these things.
Nope.
But it's still funny because I remember how big of a deal it was that he and Jennifer Aniston. You know what I remember? The one year, maybe they were only married a few years at that point, and she, like, broke her foot. And at the Oscars, she won an Oscar, and she's, like, all on crutches, and Brad's trying to help her. And she looks so uncomfortable. Like, them as a couple, they looked so bad together that day. That's, like, all I remember of them.
Well, maybe that was already when they were starting to feel a little unstable or something.
Yeah, it must have been at the end of their relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long they were together.
And by the way, these aren't in any kind of specific order, right? They're just 25 things that you randomly found?
Yeah, I didn't put them in order of your, like, what... time of year.
I don't even mean that. I'm just... Okay. Then I probably won't even read the numbers anymore.
Oh, okay. Do you know postage stamps were 33 cents back then?
Oh.
That was nice.
Okay. What year did they start the forever stamps? That was right around then.
No. It was a little later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because forever stamps were in the 40s at that point.
Oh, you mean that
they cost about 40.
I was like...
Or 41. It was 41 cents when they made the forever stamp.
Oh. back in 2000, you could buy a gallon of gas for $1.26.
Don't you miss that?
Yeah. You know what's funny? But I think that it stayed at that lower price for a while.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that it was less than $2 even when I was working at my first dealership position. So that means that that was at least
No, it went up to like 250 later. When you were still there.
Oh, maybe. I don't. Maybe that's what it was. But yeah, still, that's only like $1.25 yeah, more.
Because you had made a point to tell me at one, like that you were talking to someone at your job, saying, "Hey, remember when it was $1.50?"
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Oh, I'm glad I got this. In 2000, the Sydney, Australia Olympic Games happened.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that one.
Like all of them.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Bill Gates.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought I read this wrong. For some reason, I thought it said Bill Gates get left CEO position. I don't know why, but anyway, it's Bill Gates left his CEO position of Microsoft. Not that it changed much, because he's still basically the guy in charge anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's just like a behind-the-scenes kind of guy, but he's... I mean, come on, it's Bill Gates, it's his company.
So he still pretty much acts like a CEO, even though probably he's not? What is he now, then? Like, what's his title?
Shareholder, majority shareholder, maybe, okay. I don't know.
The dude that invented it and gets all the money for it?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
All right, so now there are some things newsy that we'll say throughout this. Okay,
because
so
here's the Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston weren't.
That's not really news. That's entertainment.
That's entertainment news.
Yeah, but this is real news.
Oh.
300 gallons of black sludge went into the Mississippi River.
Hmm.
Do you remember that?
No, not really.
That's crazy. I wonder how long that took to clean up. That's a lot of gallons.
Mm-hmm, that is. Oh, there we are. The PlayStation 2 came out in Japan.
Hmm.
Which is interesting because it wasn't that much later that we had it here.
Yeah, it was the next year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, number 15 says there was the Bush vs. Gore election that year, which I was not yet 18, or did I? No, I was not yet 18, so it didn't matter for me.
Nope.
And you were not 18 yet?
Nope.
Yep, okay, so that didn't matter for us.
Nope, but that's just to give perspective of when it was. Mad cow disease in Europe. I do remember that was a crazy
thing.
That
was a huge thing.
That was like a huge deal that all those cows were getting that sickness and their brain was getting all messed up.
What, cows?
Mad cow.
I thought it was people were getting it.
No, they were concerned that people would be sick because of the mad cow disease.
That's right. I remember it was a huge
deal. That's why they called it mad cow disease, because it was a viral infection that were affecting their brains and they were getting crazy. That's the mad cow.
Okay, I remember the pictures now that's coming to me of like, they would show cows with their eyes opened wide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. This is pretty cool to think about that this was 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods was the youngest Grand Slam winner, and now he's back.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why that's unique.
Mm. That is interesting.
Yeah, that I read this at a time when he's now coming back into the game.
But he is also still a cheater. Oh, burn! In 2000, we experienced the dot-com bubble burst.
Do you remember what that is?
Yes, I know exactly what they're talking about, but it? I wasn't really involved in like economics back then, so I don't know how bad it was, but basically think about it like how people are talking about crypto now, where they're saying, "Yeah, sure, you're making money now, but you just suddenly lose the value overnight and it could be worth nothing." Because if there's no actual utility for it, you know, then it's not going to be worth anything, and that's what they're talking about with the dot-com bubble bust. Is that there was this bubble of money created by all of these websites, these dot-com sites, that showed up on the scene. A whole ton of them. The biggest one I always think of is Pets.com.
Okay.
Pets.com was, like, huge. Remember they had the commercials with the sock puppet?
Yeah.
And they were, like, gigantic. They advertised every commercial break that I remember seeing back then. And basically, they couldn't sustain their business. And they just kind of, like, disappeared. And that happened for a lot of other websites. It wasn't just them. So that's what they mean by the bubble bust, is that all of this money that was flowing into creating new websites and trying to develop new businesses, it just kind of disappeared because nobody could actually figure out how to make a business out of that yet.
But at the same time, that's also when the internet started to boom as well.
But that's the point.
Oh.
Is that the internet was booming and people thought that they could just start up any kind of company on a website.
I see.
That's why it's the dot-com bubble.
Oh.
Because everybody was coming in and starting new websites and just making websites out of it. But a lot of them didn't know how to run the business that way. But that's where, like, Amazon came from that. But they obviously were successful. Where things like Pets.com failed.
Oh, so Pets.com is not around anymore?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Have you checked? It's
been
18
years. Somebody else might have bought the URL, but it's not the same.
Oh, okay.
Or
it's a different company now? Are you positive?
Yes, I am 100% sure. Because, like I said, Pets.com was the primary example everybody gave of that bubble bursting. Because it basically just disappeared. It just couldn't do any business anymore.
You know, I thought I opened windows, not bubbles, when I went on the internet.
No, not really.
Just trying to be cute.
Well, it looks like, it redirects to PetSmart.
Oh, so it's not really the same.
So it's not pets.com at all. It redirects right to petsmart.com, which was a brick and mortar store first. Oh. And they just bought the rights to the website, whereas pets.com was like Amazon. It was a web first company.
Okay. So number 19 is world's largest Ferris wheel, the London Eye, opened.
Hmm.
I will not ever go on that.
Nope, I know.
That is scary.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being that high up.
Mm-hmm. At least it's more closed in than the little skyline thing at Knoebels.
No. I still will not go in something that high up that spins so slowly that I have to be... Like, I think about when the Ferris wheel, when your feet are actually like dangling down...
Yeah, but the London Eye is not like that.
Oh, well, I don't...
It's closed in.
I don't like it.
Okay. I'm not going to try to make you go on there. Don't worry about
thanks.
It.
Thanks.
This is an interesting one. The email virus, I love you, shuts down 10 million computers everywhere. 105 million? What does that say?
Hundreds.
Oh, hundreds. You put tens of millions.
Oh, yeah, tens of millions. Okay. That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
tens of millions.
I don't remember this at all,
you
actually.
You don't? I do.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that.
So, it started in the Philippines, and it was some virus that actually people, like, I remember it mentioned on the news.
Okay.
So, if you received an email that said, I love you in one word, people sometimes would be like, oh, huh, what's this? Who's this from?
Well, yeah, because that was back when people didn't know to be careful.
And it actually would shut down people's complete... computer.
Mm-hmm.
It was that bad, where it was such a bad virus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we started to tell people, like, don't just open any email or don't download attachments or whatever. It started because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was worldwide, this virus.
Well, yeah, because it probably, once you opened it, it probably went over your contact list in your email and probably sent itself to everybody else on your contact list.
Yeah.
So as it just everybody did that, it probably just replicated itself over and over like that.
Next one is the first Survivor show. Let me say that again. Next is the first Survivor show aired with 51 million viewers.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
Still never saw any Survivor episodes.
Nope.
I watched Real World and, you know, Road Rules.
Yeah.
It was good enough for me.
You know, it's funny. I remember the first winner, though, because he had lost all that weight at some point.
Okay.
I just remember the guy was really smart with how, and people were mad. But I never watched it.
Another interesting thing about 2000 is that the billionth Indian was born in India.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would have to kind of second guess that a little bit because...
They have more now.
Well, but my point is just that I'm sure that there were other children that had been born there.
And maybe they don't have them
and that they weren't on the census or anything.
But it made a huge...
Not to mention the fact that if they ignore the Dalits, they don't even view them as existing.
Dalits.
Sure.
the lower than the caste system, for those who don't know.
Yeah, but my point is that those, they don't count them as being people.
That's
so
true.
How many of them have existed over time? And then, so they're probably not even counted in that billionth Indian.
Yeah, I don't know if they include them in any census.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So that makes that number sound ridiculous that they have record of that, because they probably have lots of people that were never recorded as having been born.
But it was definitely a big headline.
Okay.
I forget the name of the baby, but they used to show pictures of the baby.
Yeah. But, well, we have our billionth person born, and we still treat a whole bunch of our people like crap.
Well, I mean, lots of countries do that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But I think it was surprising because their country is not gigantic.
Yeah. No, I get that. I just think it's kind of a funny thing to talk about, considering without having to look very far, you can see where they probably did not list everybody that was born there.
All right, so we're almost done with this list, guys, but I hope you've been learning things or going like, yeah, I remember. And if you have any comments or maybe we're wrong about certain things and you can be like, hey, really?
Or even if something else happened in 2000 that you think is worthy mentioning.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot, obviously there are a lot of things that happened. More than 25 things happened in the year 2000.
Of course, I just narrowed it down to a few.
I know. That's my point, though.
But yeah, please send us a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so number 23. Bastille, I think it's Bastille, B-A-S-T-I-L.
Yes, Bastille.
Bastille Day event, which was a solar flare causing a geomagnetic storm,
mm-hmm.
was like really big. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know about what those are. You probably know what those are.
Number 24. Now, this one's actually really interesting because I don't know why it took this long.
Yeah.
But number 24 is that the Chernobyl nuclear power plant was shut down completely in 2000.
Yeah.
Which...
they had to shut down 3, so that was the final one.
Yeah, well, you're saying the reactors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's just interesting to me that they kept any of the reactor running after the explosion in, at 86? Was the,
84,
the actual...
84, I thought, no? 84?
Now I need to check that because I should know that answer.
I think it was 84.
86. April 26th, 86. But yeah, it's just interesting that it took that long for them to shut them all down, because that means that they were still running reactors on the site, even though back in 1986 was where the actual disaster happened,
yeah.
where the one reactor exploded. And that created all kinds of problems with fallout and radiation and stuff, but so they still had people working there up until 2000.
Do you think they were actually working or just trying to slowly shut it down because of how dangerous it was?
Well, it might have been that.
Might not have been able to, you know, because if you get too close, you die again. Like people
you die
that,
again?
No, you don't die again. You die.
Yes, the
like,
point...
they, as if it...
it may partly have been that they were trying to work at containing it and then shutting it down appropriately. But I would think, though, that the reactor would have been turned off. Like, they would have shut it down.
Yeah.
Like, well, shut the rest of it down after the first one went.
But if you think about it, okay, so if 86, so 2000, so it's like, what?
14 years.
14 years. So maybe that's not that long. It's long,
I don't know.
But it's not that long.
Considering how... well, imagine, when did the Fukushima reaction, like the whole thing with Fukushima after the tidal wave, when did that happen now?
2010?
So, imagine that we still had another, like, 6 years to wait before that got shut down.
Hmm. Yeah. I hear you.
Like,
they
if,
already did
if there's that,
right?
kind of a thing and that many people suffered because of what happened because of that...
yeah, you're right.
That seems ridiculous that they would continue to employ people at the station, you know, after that disaster.
Yeah, I wonder what their reasons are, then.
They're Russia.
That's not a...
Russians don't feel radiation.
Oh, good
or
accent.
Like that. Yeah, I played enough Stalker to know how to... something like that. Anyway.
All right, so the last one.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how to speak Chinese, but Luoyang, I'm assuming. The Luoyang Christmas fire at a shopping center killed 309 people.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how intense that must have been, and, like, I guess they had no way out. I don't know if they had fire exits or what.
They probably, you know, there are stories even of things that have happened here in the States at, like, factories, where before we had certain laws about the way that buildings had to be built for fire safety, where, for instance, you know, the doors that swing one way.
Yeah.
Where, like, when you, like, leave a building. Now, when you walk out of a mall, you don't think about it, but you always push a door out.
Yes.
When you're walking out of a mall.
Uh-huh.
Or out of a building. But back in the day, that wasn't always the case. Sometimes they would have where you had to pull the door into the building in order to get out. So, think about in the past, if there was a big fire and there were a lot of people in the building, and then people started to kind of, like, stampede the door, like, you wouldn't be able to pull the door into the building if you had a lot of people pushing against the door.
So you think maybe in China they didn't have their doors right?
They were probably very lax with their regulations about how, you know, fire safety stuff works.
And I wonder, like, for instance, when I worked at the mall, there was a back door that went to another area that you could exit out of.
Well, there's a fire hall,
so
yeah.
I wonder if they didn't even have that.
Probably not. Hmm. I would imagine not.
So that's
just keep in mind,
that's
the one thing I'll give the U.S. is that the, you know, things like OSHA and stuff like that, we've actually been very proactive in helping to make laws that do protect people in that kind of a situation.
I see. All right. That's that.
As I said at the beginning, the other topic we have is sriracha sauce, because it's quite tasty.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, it's something we're still getting used to, I think, as far as, like...
I don't think we're getting used to.
No. Not getting used to the flavor.
Oh.
But, like, different ways of using it.
Oh, okay.
Because, for instance, we've only really ever used it on, like, tofu.
Udon noodles I make.
Yeah, noodles you make with it. But there are other things which we're starting to kind of learn how to do. Like, I still haven't used it on our chickpea chicken patties.
Okay.
Which, you know, like, the vegetarian chickpea patties. I've only used the Frank's Red Hot, because I still have a little bit of that left. But once I finish that, I'm interested in trying it with the sriracha. And
okay.
I'm waiting to try it because I want to make sure I finish the Franks before...
I make other things with it, like some of our potatoes, I use it in there.
That's
you
true.
Just don't realize that I
Maybe.
Add a hint of sriracha in, like, a
Maybe.
Lot of things. I just don't put it in pancakes, but I have put it in the panjang when I made
Yeah, well, that's
my
because...
homemade.
Yeah. But that's because, again, when we first had that at the Korean barbecue place... That they put, it was the kimchi pancakes,
right.
And they would put a little bit of that on it even.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice and spicy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like it.
So what's interesting, though, is that there's a lot of detail about the company, which is very different from the way a lot of, I'll say, food companies work nowadays. Now, all of this information actually came from a video on YouTube.
It will be linked in the...
Yeah, we'll put it in the link, but it's from Today I Found Out. That's the name of the channel. Which, it looks like they have some other interesting things. I just haven't gone through it yet to find out other things. But anyway, because this is about sriracha sauce and we like it, I'm using this for this. So, it was actually founded originally... I should say... I don't know. See, it says... He said 1975, but I think he started making sauce. Anyway, the founder is David Tran. I believe he actually started making sauces in 1975 in Vietnam. Now, he ended up fleeing Vietnam in 1978. He ended up naming his company Huy Phong Foods, Huyfong Foods. And he actually got the name from the ship that he fled Vietnam on. Now, I don't remember what the actual name for the ship was, but the Huy Phong is like an anglicized version of the name of the ship.
Oh, okay.
So he was doing that as like to kind of like pay tribute for his getting out of Vietnam.
So he was a refugee. Where'd he end up going?
He ended up coming to the States. I don't know where exactly he came in, but he started the company in like LA.
Okay.
So when he actually started producing like sriracha sauce, and there was another sauce he actually started before sriracha. I don't remember the name of that, but I'm not worried about that because this is about sriracha. And the name sriracha actually comes from a town where the recipe that he based the sriracha recipe off of is
okay.
named. So the name is, it's actually sriracha, I think it's in Thailand. So the
yeah.
recipe is actually a Taiwanese recipe.
Taiwanese or Thai?
No, Thai. Thailand, yes, I'm sorry.
They're two different places.
Yeah. I'm not awake yet. So anyway...
The
name comes from that town in Thailand where the recipe that he based it off of comes from. So he had this recipe and he enjoyed it, but he had a different taste for it. He wanted to do something a little different with it. So he actually made his own recipe and that became his sriracha sauce. So what's interesting about Sriracha is that the only kind of branding that Sriracha actually has is the rooster on the bottle. And the rooster comes from the Vietnamese zodiac because he was born in 1945, which was the year of the rooster.
Okay.
So that's where that comes from. The interesting thing about that is that he doesn't even remember who the artist was that drew the actual rooster. Because basically he said that it was a friend or just some person had drawn it for him, and he started using it on his labels because he used to actually take baby food jars, make his sauce, and put them in there, and he had stickers with the label on it, so he would just put them on the bottles. And at some point, the story is that he sold the original artwork of the rooster to somebody like on the street somewhere at some point. So he doesn't have a record of who was that actually did the drawing for it. So the other interesting thing is that he has never trademarked the name Sriracha. So that's why when you see lots of brands, you see
the TM
in the video, for instance, they talk about Taco Bell has their own quote unquote Sriracha sauce, or they call it something else, and they even call it like rooster sauce. But it's not actually Huifeng Sriracha, which is like kind of weird because
You shouldn't call it Sriracha.
Yeah, I agree. But that's the thing, is that he didn't trademark it. It, you know, wasn't legally trademarked, so people could do that. The other thing that's kind of interesting about the fact that Taco Bell made their own sauce instead of using theirs is that they haven't changed the wholesale price of Sriracha since they started selling it in the 70s.
So that's incredible to think that a product has been the exact same price for all those decades.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's interesting about it is that the CEO, I'm not sure what his actual position is, I didn't write that down, but David Tran, the guy who started the company, he actually told all of his distributors that there's a hard limit, that even the biggest bottles can only be sold for $7.99.
Nice.
So he set like a hard limit, so you won't see people competing back and forth.
Which is what we own right now. Exactly. The big bottle.
Yep. So that's just another... I just like that whole thing about the financing. But what's awesome...
I think our big bottle, by the way, costs only like $4.
It's possible, because we go to an actual Asian market to buy it, because that's what we do. The other thing that's interesting about the fact that the pricing, like I said, the wholesale price hasn't changed, and that they have that hard limit on the price of the bottles, is that they still make $100 million a year, and that over many years, they didn't say exactly how many, but for many years, they've actually been increasing by 20% year over year in revenue, despite the fact they haven't charged more for the food. Or for the sauce, excuse me.
Now, I'm assuming you might mention it, but was there a reason why he never upped his price?
Because he just wanted to make sure... Well, one of the things which I didn't actually put the notes for, but one of his sayings about the company, or about the sauce, is that he wanted to offer a rich man's sauce at a poor man's price.
Nice.
So he wanted to always make sure that... And the other thing is, his point of doing everything the way he did was that he wanted to make sure that if anybody wanted his sauce, that they could have it. He didn't ever want to have something in the way that prevented somebody from having it.
What a nice guy. I like this guy, don't you?
Yeah, he sounds really nice.
Let's have him over for dinner. We'll give him sriracha on his food.
That would be pretty crazy, actually.
And he'll probably be like, I eat this all the time myself.
Yep.
I wonder if he's tired of it.
I don't know. I would think not, actually, because...
I'm not tired of it.
Yep, exactly. So, some other interesting tidbits. He originally started selling the sauce with a bike. So, like I said, he would make it, package it, and distribute it himself via bicycle.
That's nice.
Then in the 70s, he actually got, I think they said
so
it was
all around LA, he would ride his...
Yeah, exactly.
That's
ride around
cool.
And sell his stuff. Peddle his wares, if you will.
Ooh.
So, in the 70s, though, he moved up into, I think they said it was a blue Chevy van. So, he went from just pedaling around town on his bike to being in a van, I guess, so he could carry more and drive further.
His business grew.
Yep. But by 1980, he actually had to have a 5,000-square-foot warehouse to produce and stock the sauce he was making.
Why, was it the law?
No, that's just how much business he was doing. That's how much he needed.
I thought maybe they had, now that you have this business, you have to have this amount of space to make it.
No, he just needed that much space.
Okay.
And then I believe it was as of now, It's actually manufactured in a 650,000 square foot warehouse that they work out of. So that's just pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Aside from going from a bike to a van and then to like a 5,000 square foot house and a 650,000 square foot warehouse, they actually started leasing farmland from a family, and they only started out with 50 acres, which, you know,
that's still a lot.
Still a pretty decent amount of space, but they're now using 1,700 acres.
Whew.
That's 2.7 square miles. So imagine almost 3 square miles of farmland just for growing chili peppers.
Nice.
So as of right now, they say they actually produce 100 million pounds of chilies harvested in a 10-week period. And that's because they only actually grow chili peppers for one or two seasons of the year. Because he insists on using locally grown peppers.
I like this guy even more.
And so they harvest all of that within that 10-week period. But the other thing that's pretty cool is that any pepper that's harvested is processed and turned into sriracha sauce within a day.
Wow.
So sriracha sauce is like fresh.
That's nice.
So when you think about how... I think about it in reference to coffee, because mm-hmm. I know how much different it is when you get something that was picked locally
right.
and then roasted locally and then like shipped within a period of time. Like, for instance, Storyville Coffee
makes a big point.
Yeah, they make a big point about they put a date on the bag for when the beans were roasted, because the longer it sits, it starts to stale a little bit. So the same kind of thing obviously would happen with chili peppers. So the idea that they're picked and then turned into sauce within a day is like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But that stuff lasts a long time, too. Mm-hmm. And it still has the same flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder what the expiration date is on ours. We just bought ours last month.
Yeah.
Because we ran out of the last one.
I will say, though, I do notice now, having a fresh bottle, that it does taste a little bit better. Like, there's a little bit different of a taste. But it's not as if the other bottle started tasting bad. It's not like it went bad or anything.
I guess I just haven't noticed a difference.
Maybe.
All right.
So, another thing, too, by the way, going back to talking about the numbers and the amount of money they're making, is that they've never paid for an advertising spot.
Oh, wow.
And they don't even have...
Commercial free!
And they don't even have a sales department. Like, there are no people employed by Huifeng Foods that are literally supposed to go out and say, hey, we have this sauce, would you like to stock it on your shelves?
Yeah. Because you know what? They have people like us talking about how much they love it, that then
exactly.
people go like, well, what is this? Okay, let me try it. And then they go, whoo!
Well, that's the thing, that even one of the comments they said in this video from Today I Found Out is that in an interview where they were asking Mr. Tran about the whole like Taco Bell making sriracha sauce thing, he said, I'm not worried about the fact that I didn't trademark it because I think we still make the best sriracha sauce. And if people hear our name, it's just free advertising from Taco Bell. So like you said,
nice.
It's free advertising when people like us are talking about it, or Taco Bell names their sauce the same thing. And the other thing, which is pretty much the last thing I have in the notes that I found interesting, is that even though he's gotten multiple offers by other businesses to buy out Huifeng Foods, he's never been interested in any of them because none of those businesses have ever shown interest in the product itself and trying to distribute it to people with the same kind of intent that he had. So he said there that I think the quote actually was, they are never interested in the product, only in the profits.
Nice.
Which, you know, as a business, obviously they're going to be interested.
This guy is into simple living.
He is. And that's why I think when we saw this video, I liked it so much and that I thought it might be neat to talk about this stuff.
I haven't seen the video in like 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just watched it again today.
So I feel like I'm learning everything for the first time again.
Yeah. Well, but you know some of this stuff. You just
yeah.
don't remember all the details. But yeah, I when we watched it, I kind of thought the same thing, that he's doing a very simple living kind of thing. Because
yeah.
without having a sales department, without paying for advertising, which is kind of something I feel anyway, is that I don't really get the whole advertising thing. Like, let your product speak for itself.
Yeah.
Which he did with sriracha, obviously. And actually, one more thing which I did skip over, that back in 2013, recently after they bought out the large warehouse that they're in, the people in the city or town, whatever, surrounding it, started complaining as if the process that to make the sauce, it was releasing too many irritants into the air. Like, you figure, You know, like if it was releasing like...
It's a vegetable.
Well, but the point is it's a pepper. It's a chili pepper. Okay. So there are lots of things. So it could be irritating to the eyes if you get a lot of like the product of it. So, but anyway, so in 2013, the people of the town or the city, whatever, actually filed a lawsuit against them for kind of being like a disruption and for like creating this irritant in the atmosphere. And so they actually had to halt production in 2013 for a while. But eventually in 2014, the company started letting people into the building so they could take a tour of what was going on, how it got made and stuff like that. And they even bought a sign that says something like, "No, we are not producing tear gas," which was just kind of funny because I guess that's maybe the way he took it when people complained about the irritants and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but once they started allowing people into the building and people could see what was going on and they recognized, oh, they're just making good, yummy hot sauce, they eventually dropped the lawsuit. So they were able to resume production.
You know, people want to file lawsuits against some of the dumbest things anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, like, if they felt there was an irritant and they don't really know what it is, that they're concerned, but yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, we will put the link to the video in the description, because there are a couple of other things that he mentions that I didn't feel was necessary for us to mention on here.
Okay.
So I just put it at that. But those were the things that stood out to me that I thought was really neat.
Well, I appreciate his hard work. Does he have, like, a family business of this, do you know?
I guess.
I wonder if he has...
I don't know if he...
I think someone's about to mow their lawn, so we're going to have to finish up soon.
Well, yeah, we are just about done anyway, so... But yeah, like we said before, please check us out, simply-us.net. We have links to all kinds of places you can find us on Instagram and Twitter and whatever others.
Yeah.
Love to hear, like we said before, too, you know, any feedback about the 2000 history stuff.
Yeah. We have a lot of cool things happening in our lives lately that we will share next time. So I look forward to that, and I hope you do, too.
Yeah, so we will see you guys next time. Glad we could keep this one a little bit shorter for you, as it's our anniversary episode.
Yay!
So thank you very much, and till next time.
Bye-bye.